are now listening to the Lifting Standards Podcast, where we interview trainers, nutritionists, and inspirational individuals with the goal of providing personal and professional growth in every episode. Now, here's your host, Dalton Nicholas.
And welcome back. First of all, I want to say thank you all for your continued support through the years of Lifting Standards and things that I am producing. Huge turnout for the first episode back into the podcast, so I want to start with thanking you all for that and all the nice comments about the intro and just really motivating me to get back into doing the podcast regularly. So thank you all for that first. And then on to today's topic. I held a vote on my Instagram at Lifting Standards Training between mobility and recovery, and I believe it was at-home workouts. I can't remember the other one, but I do know that mobility blew the other option out of the water. So we're talking about mobility and recovery today, different types of stretches and things of that nature. On the itinerary, importance of mobility and recovery, we're going to talk about stretching types and timings, when to do them. We're going to talk about my suggestions to you if you are trying to get into mobility or if you are having issues learning or understanding mobility and some tools that you should use. And I'm also going to give you a couple additional resources at the end if you need any help with your mobility or if you're having a really hard time loosening up any areas of trouble. Okay, so now that you all got that, all that information, grab your notepads, get ready to learn. I hope you are having a beautiful day already. We're going to really dive in here and make it so you know exactly what to do whenever you're able to get back into the gym with this whole virus stuff going on. So we really want you to be, especially coming out of such a long time of being a hermit crab, you really should be learning a little bit about what you should be doing before and post-workout. So the importance of mobility and recovery. So why is it important for you to work on your mobility, and why should you be really focusing on recovery after a workout in terms of stretching and other recovery tactics? Reduces the chance of you having an injury. I call it prehab. Basically, just being proactive on your muscular health and your joint health and everything that usually gets hurt, sprained ankles, broken ankles. I say that just because I play basketball a lot and have to deal with that a lot. So there's a lot of ways, torn muscles, strained muscles, you really can prevent, or you're not going to be able to prevent all of them because some of them are just freak accidents like ACL sprains or tears and things of that nature, but you are able to help out and decrease the chance of your body being in a position to where you would tear something, strain something, or rip a muscle even. Like, it's not just us saying, trainers, massage therapists, it's not us just wanting to bark at you to stretch. Like, it actually does do something for you. Not only does it reduce your chance of injury, but for all of those older population people that listen to my podcast, you get better. Like, you feel better throughout the day, less aches and pains. And it doesn't even have to be older population. Honestly, I know people who are my age who are complaining to me about their lower back and stuff like that. So if you guys really take care of your body in a sense of mobility and proper recovery after a workout and don't just keep smoking your back day after day in the gym or at work, whatever it may be, you're going to see some real results in terms of just being more comfortable throughout the day. You're not going to have as much pain in areas that you would, hopefully, especially if you're staying consistent with your stretching. That's a big part of it. Also, you're going to improve your workout and or if you're playing a sport, your game performance. If you do dynamic, we're going to talk about this in a minute, but dynamic warm-ups before, you're going to just see instant results of being better on the field or in the gym, hitting better numbers in the gym, better numbers on the field. And then also just you feel better. You know, you don't have to wait 5 minutes into the basketball game to feel like you're actually getting going. Like, you start off as if you are full speed. There's still a small amount for me, but I mean, I know people who, if they do a movement prep or do their dynamic warm-ups beforehand, they're going full cylinder already at the start of the game while everybody else is trying to catch up. So that gives you a little edge on the competition. And for in the gym, you really once it's more of a prehab thing. You want your muscles to be mobile and springy and able to get you into the positions you need to have the right form. So in that side of the gym as an athlete or general population, you are going to just feel better in there as well. But you also maybe get a little deeper in your squat, maybe get a little bit more extension in your shoulders, and you'll just be able to have better form overall. And then onto recovery, you're going to get faster turnaround times for you to be able to get back into the gym or on the field. If you just go to the gym and don't stretch afterwards, you're going to be sore for 2 to 3 days guaranteed. But I can promise you, if you start doing mobility work after your session or your game or icing or any of the stuff I'm going to suggest to you, you're going to see a faster turnaround time, which means either better turnaround times for you to get back into the gym or back out onto the field so you can do more drills and not be in pain or feeling like you can't really give it 100% the next day. I'm not saying you should train the same body part every day, and just because you stretch it out, you can go back and train it again. But maybe 2 days instead of having to wait like 3 or 4, especially if you really smoked like your legs in the gym, or if you just had like a full like tournament that weekend for basketball, lacrosse, whatever you may be doing as an athlete out on the field, you will be able to get back into the gym or back onto the practice field a lot faster if you follow some of these tips for your mobility and, more importantly, obviously, recovery after your games or workouts. And that's the focus. Everybody's going to have their own reason to why they want to improve their mobility. Usually it'll be an injury or it will be a lack of performance in the gym or on the field, something that is really halting your gains or halting your progression on the field. Whenever there's some sort of stop in your progression is when people usually take a nice deep look into what is going on with their bodies. And I understand why that happens, but I also wish you would try to take a look before you get injured or before you stop making progress and try to just learn a little bit more each time you go into the gym or on the field. Just because you don't want to have to, it's almost like learning a lesson, you know? So for me, my ankles, I have to work on my ankle stability all the time, and I'm trying to make it so I have stronger ankles and mobility as well, because I want to be able to hit deep squats. But I learned a little bit too late about this situation, and I wish I learned from a younger age, because you're not going to be able to stop all the injuries. But I know for a fact I've had 2 or 3 sprained ankles that were just because I didn't have stable ankles, and I'm a little bit top heavy nowadays, but I think if I had proper stretching and post-workout routines when I was a young athlete, I would have much better support in my ankles, and probably I might. And if I had aligned my hips better when I was younger too, I think I might have not torn my ACL. That's a long story. Either way, that's a long story, and I've talked to some chiropractors and some physical therapists about it, especially post, because my hips were shifted, and honestly, that could have led to why I sprained tore my ACL and LCL. But on the other hand of it, devil's advocate, it could have just been a freak accident, and even if I had the best pre and post mobility and recovery situation, I could have still tore it. But I'm just saying it's a possibility that if I was doing better with those things, that I could have maybe not lost that time of my life to a major surgery at the age of 19 or 20. And that is what I'm trying to instill, is that you should try to learn about what you need to improve on as a sense of mobility and recovery now, before it's caused by a dramatic change in your life or dramatic injury that may take you out of a season or may take you out of the gym for 6 months. And that way you might be able to not have as bad as of an injury, or maybe even avoid the injury completely. Now, we've talked about the importance and why you should be doing mobility and recovery work. And now I'm going to tell you what types of stretches there are and when you should be doing them, because I'm really sick. It's getting better. And there's a lot more information out there available to like high school coaches and things like that. But I'm real sick and tired of seeing people hold their stretch before they do like before a game or before they play basketball or something. So for everybody out there, the love of God, please start doing dynamic warm-ups before you do any sort of workout or play any sort of sport. The static stretching is when you hold it, and that is so 1980s. You are not supposed to do that. That puts you in a worse state. You are not going to perform as well. It's basically like you pulled all the elastic out of a rubber band instead of just like bouncing the rubber band back and forth and getting it nice and ready to jump and go. So dynamic, just to give you the two like definitions, dynamic stretching is basically functional movement that is preparing you for what you're about to do without holding the stretch. So you'll go, so say I want to warm up my hams, like my posterior chain, my glutes, my hamstrings, all the way down. Maybe I do squats or like squat into my heels up and down, but I don't hold the stretch, you see. Or even if I hold my toes in the front and do some sumos, for anybody that knows what that is, and I sink into the squat and then come up and stretch out my hamstrings, but I'm not holding at the stretch. You're just going through the motion, complete motion, no holding of the tension at any point. And that is what dynamic stretching is, and that is going to get you the most ready for any sports. And if you have any questions on what that looks like, because it's kind of hard to explain through words, and I'm sure you might be having a hard time picturing it, if you just shoot me a message on Instagram at Lifting Standards Training, or tweet me at Lifting Standards, you will be able, like Lifting Standard, because they don't allow 15 characters. I'll shoot you a video of what I'm talking about, or I'll shoot you a video of me doing a dynamic stretch to maybe give you a little bit better of an idea. And then everybody knows static stretching. This is what everybody does. You sit on the ground, you reach for your toes, you sit there for 60 seconds, nice deep breaths. If you're not sitting there for 60 seconds, that's what you're supposed to be doing. So that is the post-workout method, and that is what you should be doing after your workout, not beforehand. The only time I allow my clients to do it beforehand is if they have an injury or if they're not able to do dynamic for any number of reasons why. Lack of mobility, lack of cardiovascular health, lack of anything, that is when you'll be able to do a static stretch beforehand. And when it comes to that, it's usually because they're not necessarily super focused on performance in the middle of the workout. They're doing some more light or balance or some sort of different workout. You're not really going to be putting a lot of weight on the bar in that situation. In most of those situations, I should say. So to recap that, dynamic is before your sporting event or your gym session. Static is afterwards. And if you're not physically able to do the dynamic, you can start with static. It is seen sometimes, but it's not ideal. So like you kids who are 16 through 27, whoever y'all are, if you don't have any injuries or anything, you should be doing dynamic stretches before your games. And then the last stretching tactic or type of stretching I want to tell you guys is PNF. And it's great for if you have a very tight or chronic spot on your body which you just can't seem to get rolled out, or you can't get it stretched out, so you still have such pain in that area. And PNF is proprioceptive neuromuscular facilitation. Basically, that's three very big words for no reason. Honestly, all it means is if you have someone or something activate your muscles in a stretch, like pushing my straight leg on someone's shoulder as they're trying to push it over my chest. We've all been in that kind of stretch. And I'm pushing my leg into theirs, activating my hamstring, activating my glute, activating my quad. And I'm fighting, just activating the muscle, not trying to kick them over. And then I take a break, take a breath for 3 seconds, and then I just relax and don't push. And they're able to get my leg further over my chest simply because my muscles are fatigued. And that is the type of stretch I would use for anybody who's got really tight hamstrings, really tight glutes, any area that is extremely tight and you have a really hard time getting it stretched out yourself. Just grab a buddy and do some PNF stretching. It's really good for that. I think it's one of my favorite stretches just because you see how much of a difference it can make very fast. And that is all I have to say about the different stretches types and the timing. Honestly, those are the three that you need. There's some other ones out there, but those are the three big ones I would focus on for now, especially if you're just getting started. And then if you want to talk about the other stretches and things like that, we could do it in another episode possibly. Okay, I think that is a good time to go to our sponsors. The things we have left before we go to the sponsor of the episode is suggestions for what I suggest you do to start a mobility program or add a mobility program to your existing program. And then I'm also going to tell you some tools that you could use. Even if you don't have them at your gym, you could probably order these and get them at your house. And then we're also going to talk about some additional resources that can help you learn more and also get more out of your mobility program. Okay, see you in a second, guys. And we're back. Thank you all for staying with me here. We were talking about stretching, different types of stretching, and what it can do for you. Now I'm going to tell you how to do it or what I would start with if you haven't been stretching at all. Firstly, I want you to identify the problem areas that you have. This could be you can't get low enough in your squat because your ankle mobility is poor. This could be your shoulders don't go back far enough on your overhead press because your shoulders are tight. This could be a number of things, hips, hamstrings, shoulders, and upper back, usually the biggest issues. Some people have issues with lower back too, but I would say those are probably my most identifiable issues in the general public. And for athletes, obviously hip flexors, things that you use hip extension for, any sport that you use hip extension a lot in, which is most of them, you're going to have some tight hips. So those are just some of them. Check those. Try to see if you have issues in those areas, or have someone try to help you. If you have a coach or if you have a trainer, have someone try to explain to you where your problem areas are, and then you're able to focus on maybe two or three of them at a time, depending on how many you have, and just really work on getting yourself into the best physical form in terms of mobility, and that way you will be able to hit your form on all your lifts. You'll be able to walk around a little bit straighter up. I'm a little bit more straight up, a little bit more pain-free throughout the day. And I think you'll be surprised at how little time it takes. It does take probably a month or so of solid, consistent mobility work, but you'll to get to where I'm saying you'll be pain-free, but you'll notice great leaps of progress within the first month to within the first week of actually doing these movement preps or these mobility drills or whatever you want to call them. And I think most athletes and most general population, this is such a good episode for both of y'all, whatever category you fall under, because I don't think mobility is talked about enough, and I don't think stretching is necessarily super cool in the mainstream media. But honestly, I take a lot of pride in how much I do for myself in mobility, in the mobility aspect, because as 6'1", as a big dude, you probably wouldn't expect me to be very flexible or mobile, but my ankles, man, let me tell you about these ankles. They're extremely, extremely mobile. I'm able to get super deep. The only issue I have is my hips, but it's almost like a constant battle, and you need to stay on them all the time, which is where I can improve myself. So after you've identified them, you want to figure out, and you're going to focus on two to three of them. You need to start a movement prep before you work out, and I don't care how much time you have, you can do a movement prep before you work out. If you are setting aside an hour to an hour and a half, or 2 hours, whatever you may be doing, there is no reason why you can't get there 15 minutes beforehand and start doing movement preps or start doing dynamic warm-ups before your exercises, because it is going to improve your quality of a workout and quality of post-workout life tremendously. So you need to do this, and there's no compromises here. You absolutely need to do this, and it's actually crazy that it's not talked about more because of how much it actually helps in every aspect of fitness and life, to be honest with you. So that's my number three thing, my third thing you should do. Number four, you need to start rolling out after the workout. This I'm a little bit more lenient on. Psych, I lied. You need to do this as well. If you really do want to hit your mobility goals just like your normal fitness goals, you have to be committed to it. You have to do this stuff every day, every workout. And even if you're not working out, you could do a movement prep of when you wake up. As soon as you wake up for work, you could do it. Or as soon as you get home from work, you could do the rolling out. You could do that anytime, especially if you're not working out that day. But if you are working out that day, specifically before the workout and specifically afterwards, for both the movement prep and the rolling out. Excuse me, that sounded a little confusing. Movement prep beforehand, rolling out, or doing static stretches after the workout. 5, start investing into your body's health and your muscles, mobility. Honestly, tools and the resources I'm about to list for you, you can get on Amazon, you can get at your local sports store, you can, I'm sure everywhere has these resources of people that I'm talking about, so there's no excuse not to. I know money is an issue for some people, and myself included, I'm not outside of that. I don't think it's that expensive to start your little toolbox of mobility tools that you could have. Like a tennis ball, how much is a tennis ball, honestly? $2, like, and that could do a lot for you. Lacrosse ball, a little bit more expensive than a tennis ball, I would guess, but once again, crazy good for your toolbox of things that can help you loosen up your muscles or help your mobility in some way. Myofascial roller, I believe, is like $15 to $20, depending on which one you get on Amazon. I'm sure you can find one for $10. It all depends on the density and the length of the roller. You could get a smaller one, I'm sure, for probably around $10. The next thing I'm talking about is a stretching strap, and you could grab rope from, you could grab some rope from Home Depot for however much. I'm sure you could end up getting a stretching strap for $5 or finding something in your house. Basically, all this is used for is being able to pull your leg over your chest when you don't have someone else there to do it for you. In a sense of, that's where most people will recognize the stretching strap from. But there's some other things you can do with the stretching strap. It's all of these things I'm telling you to get are multi-purpose and multifunctional. So don't think that you're limiting yourself with one. Like, if you get one thing off of this list, you'll be able to do multiple things off this list. And even if you don't know how, there's YouTube videos, these resources that I'll tell you about at the end will really help you out with that situation. PVC pipe is next. Everybody sees people do the up and over your head and opening up your chest and shoulders with this, but there's a lot more than that you can do with this. Different types of lat stretches, whether you're with your elbows on a bench, there's a lot of different stuff you can do with it. And honestly, if you're a beginner, you could use the PVC pipe for a lot of different form things as well, so not just stretching and mobility. You could roll your foot out depending on how big the PVC pipe is and how big your foot is. So I'm trying to explain that I don't want you to get something for just one reason or one thing, because if you think you're just going to use the PVC pipe for opening up your shoulders, I'm going to make you use it to roll out your foot and really open up those arches and get rid of some tightness in that foot, which you could use that on your forearm. There's multiple. It's basically your MacGyver with whatever you're about to get off of this list, and you need to be able to use them to their full potential. The last couple of things I'm talking about are a little bit more about investing in your health. Like I said, I mean, all of these things are, but this is getting a little bit more expensive, I do warn you. Vibe Roller is one. A lot of the stuff I'm talking about here is from Hyper Ice. It's a website. It's a company that does a lot of vibration and recovery health products. They came out with the Hypervolt, if you're aware of, like, the little mini drill that has gone around social media many times, or the Theragun. It's a version of that. These are the two, like, OG pioneers of that type of recovery tool. I personally have a Hypervolt, and I use it with a lot of my clients, and it's great. Does a lot of good things for people, so I highly recommend that if you have the monetary ability to get it. Vibe rollers are myofascial rollers, just like the ones we talked about that you could get on Amazon, except they vibrate, and these ones I think are $200. And the Hypervolt, I forgot to mention, is about $350 or $400, depending on if you can get it on sale. But there are some cheaper versions out now, luckily for y'all. I can't speak to the quality of them, but I can speak to the quality of the Hypervolt, and it's actually freaking amazing. So that is something I do recommend getting if you have the ability, or if you're really serious about the mobility goals that you're setting, or if you have really tight muscles and you can't do a lot, or you have been doing all the things I've listed above and you're not getting any success. Maybe this could be what helps you go over the top and get rid of those knots and tight groups of muscles that you have. Ice packs, large, small, and with compression. This is easy to do, easy to buy, hard to be committed to, because ice is uncomfortable. Icing is uncomfortable for some people. So the thing I will tell you to do is, if you have bad knees, or if your knees hurt often from working out or the games that you're playing, get huge ice packs off Amazon, and these will be expensive for some reason. I'm not quite sure why ice packs are on the expensive side, at least to me, but you can get, there's one on Amazon that I do remember with compression, so you'll get the pump, the strap, for the compression and the ice for the knee, and I believe that's like $30. That's the best deal I've seen. But I'm talking like if you've ever been to physical therapy, you can get these huge ice packs, and those things do wonders, and they're super easy to use as long as you have space for them in the freezer. So I think everything that I've listed there for y'all is something you should consider seriously, and maybe take it into steps. You know, maybe start with the roller, tennis ball, and lacrosse ball. Work your way up to maybe a PVC pipe or stretching strap, and then get into some of the more serious stuff with the Vibe Roller and the Hypervolt. But don't sleep on ice packs, honestly, or even ice baths after a long game. Those used to be used so much, and I advocate for them a lot, because people who do normal workouts, people who aren't necessarily athletes, don't do them as much as they should, because I promise you I'm not in any sort of Division I, Division II, Division III college sports, but even after my basketball games that I get done playing, I need an ice bath, and I feel crazy good afterwards. Pro tip for ice bathers, I just made a whole cult. Pro tip for anybody who's taking an ice bath, they have these little toe pads on Amazon that keep your toes from feeling like they're about to get chopped off. That is a go-to for me. Helps out a lot. And my toes were usually the only reason why I wouldn't do an ice bath, and now I'm able to do a lot of ice baths. So definitely check all of that stuff out. I'll maybe put some links in the show notes. I'm not sure how many characters I get in the show notes underneath with the details, but I will put all the stuff in there if I can, or at least some suggestions down there if I'm able to. Some additional resources for you guys. Okay, so this is another part where you need to start investing in your own body and your recovery and mobility. Massage therapy. I guarantee you there's a massage therapist around you. Time and money is always an excuse. You can find a way. You do it maybe twice, three times a year if you're really having some issues with your mobility in any area. But don't think that like, oh, my back's not that bad, I don't need any of this stuff. Like, nah, man, if you have any discomfort, stop living with the discomfort. Why would you choose the discomfort, you know? Like, it's not, you're not like being more manly, or you're not being tough by not going and taking care of yourself. You're just being stupid. It's like, take care of your body if it's hurting. It's like not going to the doctors when you're sick. Don't do that. You're not like some tough person. You need to just go and see these people who can help you. So I have massage therapist. Cupping therapy is another great tool, especially if you have like a big, big area of tight muscles. Obviously, that is going to be the obviously big and tight muscles are going to be the key to a lot of these resources I'm giving you. But any sort of pain in any area, a physical therapist, massage therapist, cupping therapy are three things that I think people just kind of don't take serious or don't utilize as much as they should. And my last resource is kind of a plug. It's me. I do a lot of work with the Hypervolt and releasing a lot of tension in people's shoulders, lower backs, hips, glutes. And I've been working on people with it for the last 2 years, and it's a great tool. So if you ever need any work done, please give me a message via Facebook, via Lifting Standards Training on Instagram. However you can get connected with me, I'm very easily accessible. Email me at DaltonNicholasTraining@gmail.com, and we'll be able to help you with some of that. And maybe even if it's not the Hypervolt, we can get you set up with a movement prep before you go into a game or before you go to the gym, and situation and stretches and things that you should do afterwards to get you really recovering in the right way, or some stretches that you may not have thought of just because you're not involved in the fitness in that capacity, or you haven't been doing it for 4 years. And I'm a professional, man. I'll be able to help with pretty much any sort of tight muscles, or maybe post injuries. If you've come out of rehab with some set goals that you're trying to hit for some range of motions that you're trying to hit again after shoulder surgery or knee surgery or any of that stuff. I have a lot of experience with that with myself, and then also a lot of experience with my clients, because for some reason broken people are attracted to me. I'm just kidding. But seriously though, I do have a lot of experience with loosening tight muscles just because, you know, everybody in the world has tight muscles. It's very common, and I'm in a service industry, and I'm trying to help these people that come and see me as much as I can. So if they come and see me, they want to lose weight, I'm going to also make them lose the tightness in their hips simply because I know it'll make them feel better. And when people feel better, you work out better and you have a better life and you go to work happier and all that goodness, man. So I appreciate everybody for tuning in. If you want to support the podcast, there should be a link at the bottom of the show notes to be like a Patreon. It's not through Patreon, but it's that similar. Just kind of pledge some money to the podcast every month. I appreciate everyone who is doing that. I appreciate anyone who is trying to do anything in fitness and just trying to really go after your goals. I hope you hit all of those goals, and I hope you have a great freaking week. If you want to connect with me on any of the social media, it'll all be down below. Twitter, Instagram for the brand and me personally, Facebook, all of that will be down below. And I'm really trying to grow that Twitter following, so please hit that up if you can. Yeah, and peep the Instagram for the next voting on what the next show will be, because that is I want to hear from you guys. I want to know what you want to hear about. Any questions that y'all have, I want to be able to answer those questions. I want to be this resource for all of you. And I think that's all I got for today. I hope you crush your week, whole month, whole year. I hope you crush everything. And you have a great day, and I will catch you in the next one. Peace out.